Hello, and welcome to the series. I'm here with my co-host, and over the next 6 episodes, we are going to build you a complete working picture of the AI infrastructure and hardware world.
We are. And the picture we want to paint is the physical chain that turns sand into the tokens a chatbot streams back at you, plus the money and the power that flow along it.
So, who is this actually for?
It's specific and practical. By the end, you should be able to walk into an interview for an AI infrastructure or hardware role and speak fluently about how this whole machine fits together, who the key players are, and what's actually driving the headlines. You already know the basics. What this curriculum gives you is the mental model that organizes everything else.
And that's what this first episode is, right? The map.
Exactly. Think of today as the map. We lay out the entire value chain, layer by layer, name the marquee company in each layer, and show you where the money and the bottlenecks concentrate. Every later episode goes deep on a slice of it. Fabrication in episode 2, the chips and racks in episode 3, data centers and power in episode 4, the business and strategy in episode 5, and the latest fast-moving developments in episode 6.
So if a term flies by quickly today, don't panic.
Don't panic. We'll come back to it. Today is about the shape of the whole thing.
Okay, give me the one sentence to remember. The thesis.
Here's the single most useful sentence in the entire series. AI capability is bottlenecked by compute, and compute is bottlenecked by a narrow, deep supply chain, where a handful of companies hold near monopolies at each layer.
So the AI boom is, at bottom, a supply chain story.
A remarkably concentrated one. If you remember nothing else, remember that.
Let's walk the chain in one breath. Atoms to tokens. Then go back and unpack it.
It goes roughly like this. Chip design and the software tools to design with, then the equipment that builds chip factories, then fabrication, the factories themselves, then memory, then advanced packaging that stitches the pieces together, then the accelerator chip itself, then the networking that wires thousands of chips into one machine, then the server and rack systems, then the data center that supplies power and cooling, then the cloud providers who rent it all out, and finally, the model labs, whose AI systems create the demand for every layer beneath them.
So the spine is design, equipment, fabrication, memory, packaging, accelerator, networking, systems, data center, cloud, model labs.
That's the spine of everything.
Define value chain for me, because it's doing a lot of work here.
A value chain is just the full sequence of steps that adds value as a raw input becomes a finished product and reaches the customer. At each step, somebody does something, captures some margin, and hands it on. What makes the AI hardware version so interesting and so investable and so geopolitically fraught is that the value and the power are not spread evenly. They pile up at a few choke points.
And a choke point is?
A layer that everyone above it depends on and that very few companies can supply. Control a choke point, and you have enormous leverage over the entire chain.
There's a classic way to picture where the value lands, isn't there? The smile curve.
Right. Picture the value chain laid out left to right, and plot how much profit each step captures. It tends to look like a smile. High at the two ends, the deep design and intellectual property end on one side, and the customer-facing, brand and software end on the other. And lower in the middle, where commoditized assembly happens.
But the AI world has a twist.
It does. A few brutal middle-of-the-chain choke points, like extreme ultraviolet lithography, leading-edge fabrication, high-bandwidth memory, and advanced packaging, are so scarce they capture enormous value, too. So it's a smile with a few unexpected peaks in the middle.
Let's walk the layers properly and meet the players. Start at the very bottom.
The bottom is design and design software. Before any chip is built, it's designed using software called EDA, Electronic Design Automation. That's the toolset engineers use to lay out and verify billions of transistors. It's a tight oligopoly. Synopsys and Cadence are the two giants, with Siemens rounding out the top three. Alongside them sits ARM, which licenses the instruction set architecture and CPU designs that anchor most data center processors. This is also where custom AI chips, Google's and Amazon's and others, actually get designed.
Just above design is the equipment layer.
The companies that build the machines that build chips. The crown jewel is ASML, a Dutch company that holds a 100% monopoly on EUV, extreme ultraviolet lithography. Lithography is the process of printing circuit patterns onto silicon using light, and EUV uses an extraordinarily short wavelength to print the tiniest features. You literally cannot manufacture a leading-edge chip without ASML's machines, and only ASML makes them.
Give me the numbers on them.
In 2025, ASML had net sales of around 32.5 billion euros, with gross margins around 53%. A single next-generation high-NA EUV machine, high-NA meaning higher numerical aperture for printing even finer features, reportedly costs upwards of $350 million, though treat that figure as a commonly cited approximation.
And ASML isn't alone in equipment.
Four more equipment giants sit around it, each dominant in its niche: Applied Materials, Lam Research, Tokyo Electron, and KLA. Remember those names. They matter enormously for geopolitics later.
Next up, fabrication.
The factories, called foundries or fabs, that turn designs into physical silicon wafers. And here we hit the most concentrated choke point in the entire chain: TSMC, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. Essentially, all leading-edge AI silicon, NVIDIA's chips, AMD's, Google's, Apple's, is fabricated by TSMC.
How big is TSMC?
In 2025, revenue of roughly $122 billion, and they've guided to more than 30% growth in 2026, on track to be the first chip company past around $160 billion in annual revenue, with gross margins typically above 50%.
This feels like the moment to define process node.
It is. You'll hear chips called 2-nanometer or 3-nanometer. A process node is, loosely, a generation of manufacturing technology. Smaller node numbers mean you can pack more transistors into the same area, which means more performance per watt, exactly what AI accelerators crave. TSMC's 2-nanometer node, called N2, entered high-volume manufacturing in the fourth quarter of 2025 with good yield.
And yield is the key word there.
Yield is the percentage of usable working chips you get per wafer. On a brand new node, low yield means high effective cost per good chip. TSMC's real moat isn't just having the smallest node, it's having high yield on it, around 80% on leading nodes, while its closest competitors lag well behind.
Who are those competitors?
Samsung Foundry is a distant number two, with 2025 foundry revenue of roughly $15 to $18 billion, less than a single TSMC quarter, and its 2-nanometer yields have been reported below 40%, which is exactly why customers stay with TSMC. Intel is trying to re-enter the leading-edge foundry business with its 18A node, but its foundry segment is still deeply unprofitable, losing around $2.3 billion in the third quarter of 2025 alone.
That brings up a structural concept I want you to nail down:
the fabless foundry IDM split. For decades, chip companies did everything in-house, designing and manufacturing under one roof. A company that does both is called an IDM, an integrated device manufacturer. Intel and Samsung are the classic examples. But building and running a leading-edge fab now costs more than $20 billion and demands relentless capital investment. So most chip companies went fabless. They design chips, but own no factories. NVIDIA and AMD are fabless. They hand their designs to a foundry, a pure-play manufacturer that builds chips for others but designs none of its own. TSMC is the foundry.
So that separation is why two near monopolies can coexist.
Exactly. Separating design from manufacturing is why a design company like NVIDIA and a manufacturing company like TSMC can each hold a near monopoly in their own layer at the same time.
On to memory.
AI accelerators are starved for data. They can do math far faster than ordinary memory can feed them. The answer is HBM, high bandwidth memory, which stacks memory chips vertically and places them right next to the processor for enormous bandwidth. Because AI workloads are memory bandwidth bound, HBM capacity and bandwidth often determine real-world performance.
Another oligopoly?
Three firms, Korean and American. SK Hynix leads with roughly 62% of the HBM market, then Micron at around 21%, and Samsung at around 17%. The HBM market was worth roughly $38 billion in 2025 and is projected to reach around $58 billion in 2026, with demand growing about 130% year over year.
And there's a ripple effect worth mentioning in an interview.
HBM is so hot that producers are shifting capacity toward it, which is dragging the broader memory market into shortage. Nice detail to drop.
Next is advanced packaging, which you say newcomers underrate.
Badly. A single chip can only be made so big. There's a physical reticle limit of around 858 square millimeters, the largest pattern the lithography tools can print at once. To keep scaling past that, the industry stitches multiple silicon pieces, called chiplets, plus the HBM stacks, into a single package. TSMC's dominant technology for this is called CoWoS, chip on wafer on substrate.
And here's the striking part.
In 2025 and 2026, packaging, not the transistor, is arguably the single tightest bottleneck in the whole chain. NVIDIA's entire product ramp is gated by how much CoWoS capacity TSMC can build. That capacity went from roughly 13,000 wafers a month at the end of 2023 to around 75,000 at the end of 2025, heading toward perhaps 120,000 to 130,000 by the end of 2026, and it's still been sold out. When you hear GPUs are supply constrained, packaging and HBM are usually why.
Now, the star of the show, the accelerator.
An accelerator is a specialized chip built to do the massively parallel matrix multiplication that training and running AI models require. The most familiar one is the GPU, the graphics processing unit, originally designed for video games, but perfect for AI math. This is the layer with the most visible value capture and the most famous moat, and it belongs overwhelmingly to NVIDIA, led by its CEO, Jensen Huang.
How dominant is NVIDIA?
Something like 80 to 90% of AI accelerator revenue and well over 90% of frontier model training, effectively all of it. Its fiscal 2026 revenue came in around $216 billion, up 65%, with gross margins around 75%. The credible number two is AMD with its Instinct line, stronger in inference than in frontier training. Then the hyperscalers own custom chips, plus the silent enablers, Broadcom and Marvell, who help those custom chips get built.
Wiring all those accelerators together is networking.
Training a frontier model is as much a networking problem as a compute problem, because you need thousands of chips to behave like one machine. There are two domains. Scale up means the ultra-fast links within a single rack, where NVIDIA's NVLink is the marquee technology. Scale out means the links across many racks, where the choice is between InfiniBand and Ethernet.
And the trend?
Ethernet gaining ground because it's open and multi-vendor. Key players are Broadcom and Arista on the Ethernet side, with NVIDIA pushing its own InfiniBand and Ethernet products. We'll spend real time on this in episode 3.
Above networking is the systems layer.
The companies that integrate accelerators, processors, memory, networking, power, and now liquid cooling into complete servers and racks. The defining shift is that AI compute is increasingly sold as an entire rack, not as a chip. NVIDIA's reference design, the GB200 NVL72, packs 72 GPUs and 36 processors into one liquid-cooled rack, drawing well over 100 kilowatts. Most of the volume is actually built by contract manufacturers, like Foxconn and Quanta, with Dell and Supermicro leading the branded server market.
Then the building itself, the data center,
which supplies the two things AI now consumes voraciously, electricity and cooling. And here's a theme that dominates episode 4. In 2025 and 2026, power has become the new binding constraint, arguably more than chips. You can now buy GPUs faster than you can energize and cool them.
Put a number on the power.
Global data center electricity use is projected to exceed roughly 1,000 terawatt hours by the end of 2026, about as much as the entire country of Japan uses in a year. Grid connection queues in the U.S. stretch into multi-year waits, which is why companies are turning to on-site gas generation and even nuclear deals to get power faster.
Above the building is the cloud layer.
The hyperscalers, who buy chips and systems at vast scale and rent out compute. The big three are Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud. Their capital expenditure, CapEx, the money they spend building infrastructure, is the single most watched demand signal in the entire sector.
What's the CapEx number?
Combined big tech CapEx for 2026 has been guided in the range of roughly $600 to $725 billion, up from around $365 to $500 billion in 2025, with about three quarters tied directly to AI. When these companies raise their CapEx guidance, the whole chain beneath them, TSMC, NVIDIA, the memory makers, the power suppliers, feels it. And alongside them is a newer layer called NeoClouds, GPU specialist clouds like CoreWeave, renting dense GPU capacity to the model labs.
And at the very top?
The model labs, OpenAI, Anthropic, Google DeepMind, Meta, and xAI, who build the frontier models that consume all this compute. They're the demand engine. Increasingly, they sign multi-year, multi-gigawatt, hundreds of billions of dollar compute commitments that literally pull capacity into existence. The chain is now demand-shaped by roughly five labs.
Two demand engines run through this whole stack, and you say we must distinguish them.
Training and inference. Training is the process of building the model, a huge, bursty, capital-intensive computation that leans hardest on raw compute and on the networking that ties thousands of chips together. Inference is running the finished model to answer queries, a continuous, ongoing, margin-sensitive cost that leans more on memory bandwidth and on cost-per-token efficiency.
And the balance is shifting.
Toward inference, it was about half of AI compute in 2025 and is projected to be roughly two-thirds in 2026 as companies move from experiments to running AI around the clock.
Which connects to the big economic framing, compute as the new oil.
Compute has become a strategic commodity everyone is racing to secure, and CapEx is flowing into it at staggering scale. The crucial insight for an interview is this. Today, the AI value chain is supply constrained, not demand constrained. The demand is effectively unlimited. The limit is how fast the chain can produce leading-edge wafers, package them, stack HBM onto them, and plug them into a powered, cooled building. Whoever controls the scarce links, TSMC, ASML, SK Hynix, NVIDIA, holds the leverage.
So how do we actually use this map? That's the payoff of episode 1.
Any AI hardware news story can be located on this chain. When you read that GPUs are sold out, ask, is the constraint really the chip Or is it packaging and HBM beneath it? When you read about a giant new data center, ask, where's the power coming from and who's renting it? When you read about export controls, ask, which choke point are they aimed at? The lithography machines, the leading edge fab, the memory, or the accelerators?
And locating the story tells you who has leverage.
Instantly. Every story lives somewhere on this map, and that single habit will make you sound fluent.
Leave us with the systemic risk version of the picture.
It's the most compelling thing you can say about this industry. Nearly every layer has a near monopoly. TSMC in fabrication, ASML in EUV lithography, NVIDIA with its software in accelerators, SK Hynix in high bandwidth memory, and TSMC again in advanced packaging. Several of these sit physically in just three places: Taiwan, Korea, and the Netherlands. A disruption at any one cascades through the entire AI economy. That fragility is the deepest truth of this value chain, and it's the thread we'll pull on for the rest of the series.
That's the map. And next episode, we go all the way to the bottom of the stack.
Into fabrication and equipment, where TSMC and ASML run the deepest moats in all of technology, and where we'll find out what 2-nanometer really means and why a single fab costs more than $20 billion to build.